In this episode of Video Marketing Mastery, we're going to talk about the seven social video platforms that are the most dominant.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuds.
Hey-o! All right. Well, look, it's not every day that we get to talk about the dominant social video platforms and what you need to know, what the latest information of each of them is. And I'm going to be joined in a few moments by Greg Jarboe, who is one of the most prolific writers in video marketing. Now, you can find Greg's article on Tubular Insights. He writes regularly, always shares the latest information in video marketing, and is a really great source of where the industry is headed. And to help you stay up to speed on the latest developments, I'm going to check in with Greg on Cape Cod while he's on vacation. So join us right now as Greg Jarboe joins us on Video Marketing Mastery. Hi, and thank you for joining me right now. I've got Greg Jarboe with me. Greg is the president and co-founder of SEOPR. They're an award-winning content marketing agency. He's also the author of YouTube and Video Marketing an Hour a Day. Greg, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I know you're on vacation. You're checking in remotely. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Thank you.
No problem. It helped me get out of the chores that I had to do. So I'm delighted to be here.
No doubt. I totally get it. Greg, let's start off talking about really the gold standard of video, and that's YouTube. And for those of us that are just checking in right now, Greg and I are talking about the seven social video networks, 1 through 7, and we're going to break them down as the most important to, of those seven, the least dominant of the seven. Are you up for that task, Greg?
I actually just wrote a post about this last week that was published on Tubular Insights. If I can't cover this ground again, shame on me.
Well, Greg, check this out. I'll make sure that the listeners of this podcast get access to that article. I'll put it on the show notes page for this episode. But let's start off at the very top. You know, YouTube has 1.5 billion visitors every single month, and on average, people spend an hour a day watching videos on YouTube through mobile devices alone. Can you share the YouTube announcements that came out of VidCon? I know you were there. What are the announcements that really stood out to video marketing masters?
Well, that was the highlight. YouTube is very parsimonious when it comes to updating its data. So the fact that we even got the 1.5 billion number followed by the amount of time that people spend watching videos was appreciated. It's like, oh, great. Thank you very much for an update. But beyond that, they also made another series of, I think, about 4 or 5 tactical announcements that are worth knowing about. So one of which is they're finding ways to make it easier to share YouTube videos, which particularly as they compete with Facebook is going to become critical to them. They are working on a new look for their YouTube ad app as well as their desktop site. They're also working to make VR more accessible. And one of the interesting things that they did as a sort of a stepping stone to that is to say, okay, not everybody has figured out how to create a 360-degree video. Tell you what, we'll create a 180-degree video view, and if you can get halfway there, who knows? Maybe that'll help you get all the way there down the road. So that was interesting, and they've got a number of deals that they announced to basically provide the capability to create a 180-degree video. They are expanding YouTube TV to 10 more cities, and last but not least, they had a whole new slate of YouTube Red originals, and they did a lot of promotion of that on the whole side of the Anaheim Convention Center was this giant banner that basically was promoting YouTube Red. So they weren't shy about what they were doing.
Hey, Greg, you know, that's a really great overview. You know, when I was thinking about what you just said, about YouTube announcing the 1.5 billion monthly and the 1 hour a day on how long users are spending with the app. That almost felt like to me, and when I read your original article on Tubular Insights, it felt to me like YouTube was doing a bit of a chest thumping to let Facebook know that the king of the jungle is still there. And when it all boils down, what they're really doing is competing for the number of eyeballs and the length of time so they can compete against television networks. Do you see something similar?
Well, I see something like that. They're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place. So let me explain why they are loath to disclose numbers, because even the 1.5 billion is actually, I think, a conservative estimate, because hidden in the asterisk after that was those are logged in viewers, not viewers.
Right.
And that implies that the real number is actually higher. So here's the dance that I think they're doing. On one hand, they need to keep up with Facebook so that people don't think Facebook's blown by them. So there is a little bit of that chest thumping. You're right. But on the other end of the spectrum, Alphabet, Google, the parent company is in trouble over in Europe and getting sued. Absolutely. For being, a gargantuan monopoly. So I think at the corporate level, it's, let's, keep YouTube under a bushel basket, because if people really knew how big it was, there would be another lawsuit or another fine or another investigation. And so they're doing this funny dance that says, yeah, we're big and it's really big, but we'll even understate that.
Okay, so I love what you just said. I recently saw a story that millennial dads were doing more searches than a millennial moms were on YouTube about parenting tips. And instantly when I saw that, what I realized is what you just acknowledged, which is those are logged in users. So it could very well be that a lot more moms are just logging in on the dad's account, right? So one of the things you see with Facebook is everybody that uses Facebook is logged in on their own account. But on YouTube, you don't have that. So their numbers could actually be double what you're seeing because most of us share accounts with other people.
Yeah, and you begin to see the scope of this when different organizations that are out there will do surveys. So if you do a survey, then you're not dealing with I log in one way, you log in another, or I have a different way of counting views than you do, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's let's round up the usual suspects and ask them. And invariably, when you use a survey-based methodology, YouTube is surprisingly ahead of Facebook. And it's like, whoa, time out. That's not the impression from the numbers that we've seen.
All right. So one of the things that I love is when you are an underdog getting into the video space, like Facebook was rivaling YouTube, which was already established, Facebook just decided to come up with their own number system, right? Instead of being like a 30-second view is an actual view, they did the 3-second, right? And then their numbers were skewed, but it made people quickly think that Facebook was a viable alternative to the big dog, YouTube. And you start to see that play out when there isn't an established amount of term. Now, Facebook recently announced they have exceeded 2 billion monthly, or 2 billion members, not monthly members. And right now that puts Facebook at the second most dominant video platform on your list of the top seven. What should the audience know about the direction Facebook is headed? You know, this audience already knows that Facebook is becoming video first, but tip them off on the direction Facebook is headed.
Yeah. So here are the two sets of numbers. Yes, 2 billion is a huge number, catches your attention, gets the headlines, probably did strategically what Facebook wanted to do. Buried in the details, and they haven't been updated lately, and I got to believe if they haven't been updated lately, then they haven't changed, is the fact that only about 500 million Facebook users are watching video. And that means 1 out of 4, not everybody. And there are technical reasons for that in some countries, like, let's say, India, where the bandwidth isn't as great as it is, let's say, here in the United States. You know, video on Facebook might get people to just not use Facebook as much, and that would be a problem for that company. So again, they are limiting it in some places because of bandwidth constraints. In other places, they also know that if they show video to people who don't want to watch it, they could, again, sort of suppress the usage of Facebook. And as a result, they figure out in the newsfeed whether you are someone who's likely to watch a video or not. And as a result, they will either show you more video if you like it, or they'll show you less video if you don't. And mix into all of that the fact that Facebook just rolled out, literally within the last couple of weeks, they started off where the video was going to be silent until you clicked to listen, and then most people didn't click to listen. And now they're making video as a default. It is now going to have the sound on automatically. And for some people, that's going to be terrific. And for a whole lot of other people, it's going to be problematic, because if I'm, let's just say, sneaking a look at my Facebook page while I'm at work, now everybody around me knows that I'm goofing off, as opposed to doing something, that I'm supposed to be doing. So again, there are some things to be worked out, and one always has to take Facebook numbers with a grain of salt.
All right, Greg, Daniel Danker, a product director at Facebook, said that the social network is going to be releasing a new app later this year that's going to update a variety of things for Facebook. Can you tease us on what Facebook said is coming our way?
Well, it's unclear, because they're trying to pitch it towards creators. So everybody in attendance at VidCon said, "Oh boy, here it comes! It's going to be the Facebook, partner program," and then it didn't. And so what it is an app they call the Creators app. But what it's going to do is allow you, is you create video to, let's say I want to add a little...
like an introduction and an outro?
Yeah. It's like, oh, terrific. Okay, so I can do a little bit of editing to the video that I'm creating, particularly if I'm shooting live. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's useful, but pardon me, where's the money?
Right.
Again, the name of the app sort of moved through the rumor mill before the actual presentation was made. The expectations were higher than what actually, I think, got announced. So let's put it this way. I'm sure it's a wonderful app. I'm sure it's something that people will want to use. But no, it wasn't what everyone in the room was waiting for.
Okay. So that makes good sense. And really... The Facebook user experience is going through some rapid evolution as it's becoming video first. The big Zuck warned us about this, that this was happening. And it also gives me the feeling that as Facebook is watching the YouTube ad revenue share problem that YouTube's going through with creators, maybe it's in YouTube's Facebook's best interest to sit out right now and wait for that to shake out before they start rolling it out to their creators.
I've never known Facebook to sit back and wait. That's just not their style. They used to have a mantra: move fast and break things. And I think that's still in their DNA. So I got to believe they got their own challenges internally that are preventing them from doing what they'd like to do if they could. This isn't prudence, like, let's see this sort out. This is like, can't quite get there yet.
Okay, that makes sense. For anybody who's ever worked inside of a large company that's dealing with product iterations, that makes a lot of sense, because not everything is timed out perfectly.
Oh, I know painfully, because back in the late 1980s, I worked at Lotus Development Corp, and release 3 of 1-2-3 was late. We took a real hit in both the stock market and in the press. And, you know, yes, I understand software doesn't like to get delivered on a deadline.
Sure doesn't. All right, Greg Jarbo, clearly Instagram has grabbed the third place in the social platform rankings. For more than 700 million Instagrammers, it's obvious that on Instagram, people prefer to watch video now that it's becoming video first. And what should your audience and the people watching us right now know about where video's headed on Instagram?
Yeah, I wouldn't actually jump to that conclusion. I still think more people on Instagram are sharing photos as opposed to video.
Okay.
It's just that the percentage, which used to be, 50-1, is now 20-1. So video is growing faster. It is becoming more a common part of Instagram, and particularly when you combine it with the growth in overall users, with the percentage of content that is now becoming video as opposed to just photos, then you get this incredibly rapid growth. And the growth is so rapid that it has leapfrogged over Twitter, when you recognize that Facebook owns Instagram too, it's an interesting and potent 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it sure is, right? You add those up and you also see that when you're placing your ad spend on Facebook, some of that is getting directed over into Instagram automatically. It's a really interesting transition, or even a convection cycle, where Instagram leapfrogs over Twitter, which on your list is in the fourth place of the social video platforms. What do you think Twitter is doing, or where do you think Twitter's going with video?
It's going as fast as it can, and I think the videos are getting uploaded there. What is happening that Twitter is wrestling with is it's not getting a commensurate increase in video ads. And again, at the end of the day, that's what pays the rent. So it's nice that people are either using Periscope or they're using Twitter's native video. And it's terrific that more and more people are doing that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, the real challenge that Twitter faces is how do you take that to the next level? And one, they've got to grow their audience in order to do that. And that seems to be a real challenge for them. And two, they've got to convince advertisers that this platform is going to be around.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of Twitter deals in the news about Twitter grabbing what would be traditional television, either programs or live event broadcasts, and then putting that onto Twitter and allowing people to have that real natural organic conversation that Twitter is so known for. It'll be interesting to see if content creators gravitate also to it. But it looks to me like Twitter's real emphasis is to show, just like Facebook and YouTube, that it's a viable place for ad dollars by the amount of time and the number of people that are there. You buy all
yeah,
that?
I do. And again, they seem to have hitched their wagon to television, saying, while you're watching the game on one screen, tweet about it on a second screen, and share those moments with your followers. And, okay, that's a strategy. That's that leverages what they are strong in. The interesting thing is that advertisers are still holding back.
Yeah, no, you really can't blame them, because Twitter has this algorithm problem, this fire hose problem, where you really can't sift through the content because it's overwhelming the number of posts, and most of them are automated nowadays.
Oh yeah, and I have to worry every time I tweet something and I get it retweeted within seconds. It's like, excuse me, was that really a human follower who just was knocked over by what I said, or is that some kind of bot?
Right. Well, gauging from what you post, it probably was somebody who was knocked over. I'm a follower. A I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm sure it's a mix. But hey, can we talk for a moment about my 10-year-old niece? I'm sure that's not your favorite topic, but my 10-year-old niece is in love with the social video platform in your fifth position, which is Musical.ly. Every time we go to dinner, she recently found out in the last maybe 6 months that her Uncle Todd is a video guy. And so she always brings her tablet, shows me her favorite content creators on Musical.ly. Hey, would you consider Musical.ly a valuable platform for brands to be engaging younger female preteen demo? Is that a viable location?
It's huge. It's where Generation Z is. And just as everyone is a year ago was rushing around to try to figure out how Snapchat works so they could be there, I got to believe that if you haven't figured out Musical.ly, go there, do your homework. It stole the show. I mean, I put it in fifth position because it's new and it's young. They filled the vacuum that obviously Twitter didn't want to fill. They filled the vacuum that even Snapchat didn't send a delegation to VidCon. And little Musical.ly took advantage of that, came in, not only told a good story, but then they brought up a couple of their stars. One of them was baby Ariel.
Yep.
And the other one was a couple of German twins, Lisa and Lena. And while they were on stage, they made a Musical.ly. They just showed the audience how fun it was, how easy it was, and how, although they had never collaborated before, how easy it was to collaborate. It was addictive.
Yep. Hey, Greg, it's interesting that you bring up that Snapchat didn't send a delegation to VidCon. What in the world's happening at Snapchat? You got any insight there?
I don't. They did send a delegation over to Con, which was held at roughly the same time. We actually had I had a speaker on one of the panels that I moderated who had to fly into Anaheim from Con in order to be in both places. So, maybe they have an A team that they sent to France, and they didn't have a B team to send across town in Los Angeles over to Anaheim. But I think it was a missed opportunity. They do need to tell their story. And, if they can tell it one place, they need to have the bandwidth to be able to tell it in two places at the same time.
Absolutely. And while they're at it, if they need anything, they should figure out that navigation system because it's really bad. You need a YouTube. If you need a YouTube video to figure out the Snapchat navigation, there's a problem.
That's true. That is true.
All right. So Greg Jarboe, in your sixth position, I was surprised to see Verizon. Now, most people wouldn't suspect Verizon to make your list. Why does Verizon deserve to be there?
I was surprised that Verizon made my list. As I was sifting through what I had seen and what I'd heard, it's like, Verizon? Wait a second. Now, maybe I'm old enough that I remember them as Bell Atlantic. Now, I haven't been Bell Atlantic for a long time, but when you begin to listen to their story, and they have a really interesting story to tell, it turns out Verizon now owns a pretty interesting portfolio. Part of that portfolio is Awesomeness TV, a legitimate success story. Another part of the portfolio is Oath, which people don't know what it is yet, but it's the combination of Yahoo and AOL, both of whom have taken a run at the video space over the years. And, watch this space. Who knows? That could be interesting. And they have other assets as well. So it turns out, all things considered, Verizon is in the sixth spot because that's a whole lot of assets that haven't been combined before. Who knows? Yep. Something magical could happen.
It's pretty exciting to watch. Now, in your seventh place, I'm going to get to the seventh spot in just a second. But before I do that, if I gave you $1 million to invest, and don't worry, we're not going to claim this, okay? And this is just a free $1 million. If I gave you a free $1 million to invest in either Musical.ly, or Twitter, where do you think that money would grow faster for Greg Jarboe?
Musically. No question about it.
Yep. I feel the same way, man. And it's really interesting to see the, you know, you and I lived through the cycle where we had earlier social networks that died off, and now Facebook becomes the big dog. It's interesting to see the next process where who knows where Twitter's going. And sometimes I look at it and I go, hey, they're viable. And other times I look at it and think those guys that are running it are creating some type of a golden parachute and they're getting out in the hopes that other people can figure out how to make it profitable. Do you see things like that?
Yeah. It unfortunately reminds me of MySpace video. Yep. Once upon a time, they were the number two right behind YouTube. Now, once upon a time means back in like 2006.
Right.
Okay. The misty mist of the pasty past. But nevertheless, a company that should have had more staying power didn't.
Right.
And Twitter has the feel of The Walking Dead right now.
You know, one of the interesting things about MySpace that most digital marketing experts don't talk about and maybe don't even recall is when MySpace launched, MySpace was all on pseudonyms, right? Everybody had a handle that wasn't their name. And
right.
Then Google started coming out with identities and making sure that there was author rank and all of these concepts of tying the content back to the individual. And everybody was talking about how that was a violation of their privacy. And now it's a foregone conclusion that if you want to really rock a social network, you have to do it with your name.
Yeah. And the other thing I think that sort of people forget is part of what killed MySpace video, particularly as opposed to MySpace generally, was they decided to crack down on pornography. And immediately after that, the number of video views they were getting plummeted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the kiss of death. All right. So Twitch, let's talk about Twitch. Twitch owns the seventh place in your social video platform. It's a subsidiary of Amazon. Tell the listeners why Twitch deserves to be on that list and what makes it unique.
Okay. Well, basically, they're focused on the gaming segment of the video industry. And I think all of us who maybe are of an age totally underestimate the power of gaming
right.
in video. It's huge. In fact, going on right now is what, E3?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the huge spikes that YouTube sees every year is around E3 because the gaming community is adopting video in ways that the rest of us will catch up to later. For example, I got to see virtual reality is going to be a bigger in gaming first and then roll out for us pedestrians down the road. So Twitch may be small. It may seem like a niche. It just happens to be one of the most passionate niches that you can imagine out there.
Yeah, no, that's so cool that you say that because I've often felt that the big advancements usually come out of niches. And if you are trying to be a great digital marketer, and this may be a little bit unorthodox, you can learn more from studying the people that are already crushing it in e-commerce in adult sites because they're way ahead of the curve, and they're generally a year or two ahead of the rest of the industry. So as soon as you get out of the mainstream and you start looking at niche groups, like you were saying with gaming and how gaming's using video, you can then correlate that back over to the mainstream and find yourself again several years ahead.
Yeah. So again, it is in seventh position because it's a smaller in terms of total audience size, but it is an incredibly passionate audience, and they are doing some really, really pioneering things that I think the rest of the industry will look over its shoulder and follow.
Hey, Greg, I saw in your article the significant seven social video platforms. that was in Tubular Insights, that every video platform has a different personality, and they each have a different type of a content that you should be posting. And I think this is a really important conversation for listeners of this podcast to get some information on. Can you break that down for me? You know, in other words, like, why is that important? Why should people take that in consideration as a content creator?
Well, let's just say most of us are learning this the hard way. Most of us would love it if we could take a video and repurpose it in, you know, half a dozen other places. You know, we could be lazy, shoot once and throw it over the fence and hit different viewers. What it turns out is—
kind of like Tube Mogul was, right? Like Tube Mogul, if you remember that. You push up a video and then push it out to 12 locations.
I know. And that part of their business, they actually ended up giving up on and, you know, spinning off as a freebie because, you know, the whole notion, I can take it once and throw it in lots of places, turns out to be wrong. And I try to explain this to marketers. If you've ever tried to market in Europe, you totally understand you're not going to run a German video in Italy. You're not going to run a Spanish video in France. I mean, every market requires its own content. And, you know, the Europeans understand market segmentation. It may be all part of the European Union, but pardon me, every segment is different. In the United States, somehow or other, too many marketers still buy into the myth of the melting pot. And frankly, I don't think the United States is a melting pot, but that's a political discussion. But let's just put it this way. It turns out one size fits all is a bad strategy in video. And if you want to succeed, you need to focus. I totally understand that part. And you need to sort of start with the big guys. And that's where YouTube and Facebook and Instagram are sort of at the top of the list. Right. You know, those places you want to go first. But the point is that you do not do the same thing on each platform. Each platform has different audiences. Each platform has different strengths and weaknesses. Each platform enables you to tell your story in different ways. And what you need to do is, instead of trying to do this, you know, all-purpose, I created a video and I threw it into seven different places. What you need to do is like, no, you know, your idea may go into seven different places, but each one has to be tailored and customized and, you know, tuned to fit the unique audience, the unique platform, and frankly, the unique measurement metrics that you're going to get from all of those.
Okay, I like that. You know, I think it's really important that people recognize that if you can have one core message that you're then going to, you're like, let's say your one piece of content or your one piece of advice that you're going to give, and then you you provide a different length and different segment to each one of those, let's say, seven sites that you just mentioned, though I don't know many of us would be posting anything on Musical.ly, but I do think that it's important for people to understand that whoever you're going to be talking with, you've got to tailor that to that specific audience on that specific platform.
Absolutely. And again, if you quote, can't do it on Musical.ly, what you've just kissed away is a humongous audience that may be in their teens today, but, you know, pardon me, they're going to become consumers tomorrow.
Right, really soon.
And you better figure that out. You may be at the experimental phase at this point. You may do a lot of things that don't necessarily generate commercial results initially, but you better figure out what makes that tick.
You know, it's funny, as you're talking, I'm thinking about Gary Vee, and, you know, as somebody who's watched his career, starting off as a wine fan and watching the evolution of his career, I think what marketers should be getting out of Gary that most aren't is that the early adopters are the ones that get the 10,000% increase, and the ones that wait around for, let's say, Instagram to be legitimized are the ones that get the 1% or 2% growth. and they've missed, just like buying stock, the opportunity to really spring forward.
Yeah. And what is amazing, particularly in marketing, is, you know, there was an era where if I was still doing what they had taught me in college, life would have been wonderful because I could learn it once and, you know, practice it over a 40-year career. Those days are long gone.
Right.
And marketers need to understand that, you know, chuck your college textbook. They weren't teaching this back then because it didn't exist.
Right.
You got to go in there and, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. Yeah, it's not going to be perfect the first time. Get over it. But if you do not master this group of at least seven in the short term, you're going to have to update your resume and find a new job.
Yeah, really. Hey, Greg, do you think it's essential for a digital marketer or a video marketer to be comfortable and open with always learning each and every day or find themselves extinct rapidly?
Well, I have.
Right.
And
but, you know, you are special.
No,
most people are intimidated by it.
No. This is one where if you've lived through the dot-com bubble and got laid off, you learn to pick yourself back up and do something else.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, there were some hard knocks that had to teach me some of these lessons. But once you figured out, hey, you can pick yourself back up and, you know, tomorrow is going to have a different paradigm shift. And the day after that, a new one. And, you know, get back into the game, you know, learn what works. That's what's going to give you a really interesting career.
Well, there you've had it. You've just heard from Greg Jarboe. He's the president and co-founder of SEO PR. They're an award-winning content marketing agency. And more than that, Greg is a trustworthy source for really great updated information on where the world of video marketing is going. Greg, thank you so much for finding time on your time off to bring our listeners of Video Marketing Mastery up to speed on the latest in video marketing. All right. Well, he's Greg Jarboe. And hey, if this was a valuable podcast episode for you, please make sure that you go up to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, rate and review. Okay, that's rate and review. That's three. I gave you three. And then if this podcast was valuable to you, make sure you share it with a colleague that you're rooting for, somebody that could benefit from this information. You know, our whole goal here is to make sure that you get the latest video marketing news and information that can help you be more profitable. Now, naturally, when you're hearing about the seven social video platforms, the most important thing for you to do is to create content that's different for each one of those platforms, because you got to speak directly to that audience. And then the next thing you need to do is be very approachable. So if any of you have any questions that pertain to video marketing or digital marketing, because you can't just be a video expert and expect anything to happen online anymore, you've got to make sure that the video is interconnected with a very smart digital strategy, that your website has integrated that strategy to support the videos when the videos are created. And then you go to the final step, which is engaging those pieces of content with your target customer, and then possibly an ad spend if you need it in order to bring large numbers of people through your path to conversion. All of that takes place within the world of video marketing, and it starts where it always starts, with very smart digital strategy. And so that's the piece of wisdom I'd like to give you. I hope this interview was valuable. And if you've got any questions, feel free. You can always pitch them my way at wirebuzz.com/pitch with a P. And I'll make sure that those questions come into me. Coming up in the next episode, I'm going to be breaking down the latest video marketing news, and I'm also going to show you how that news can be important for your business and what your business can do as a takeaway to be a better marketer that generates greater revenue, right? So on behalf of the team here at Wirebuzz, a special thank you to Greg Jarboe for sharing his information while on vacation, and we'll continue to do our work behind the scenes, bringing you the latest information in video marketing.